Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a fantastic question. It really is. First time I've been asked it this way.
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a good question.
Well, that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
That fires me up, man. Just fires me up every time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm into it. And we're live in the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk is righteously brewed in San Francisco. Cubs three, Padres one. I will say this. Look, when the Giants are good, this city obviously turns out and spills out on the Market Street and Third Street, and it's amazing and all of that stuff. Chicago after like a Cubs playoff win in Wrigleyville.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They flew that W now.
They're going to fly that W.
Yep.
And, wow, those people are having a good time at 5 o'clock somewhere right now.
It's and I got FOMO. I mean, you've got Cleveland-Detroit rivalry. It would be Giants-Dodgers, by the way.
Yes, it would.
Had they gotten the card, it's Yankees-Red Sox. I'm just feeling like I wish we were a part of that.
We got some more on that a little bit later on in the show, but right now joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. How is the podcast going, Mr. Mark Schlereth, who joins us on the River Islands guest line? What's going on, man?
It's going well. It's you know, it's going exceptionally well, actually. So we're growing like a weed. Great podcast just got released today. I dare you to listen to it and not laugh hysterically. And there's still always going to be some good football on there as well. So going well, man. It's all good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. Well, I know you covered the NFL like a Snuggie. So, like, is there anything in that most recent pod about the 49ers, their quarterback situation, their injuries, their performance? Like, what are you thinking right now after they suffered their first loss?
Well, I mean, they have had the injuries, obviously. Brock Purdy, who, you know, I'm a big Brock Purdy fan, but he didn't look sharp. They didn't run the ball well. I mean, McCaffrey averaged, 2.5 yards, under 3 yards per carry. And meanwhile, you know, all this tete-a-tete going on between Cohen and between your guys' defensive coordinator, Xerxes. I look at those situations going on right there, and you got to stop the run game. Like, they couldn't stop the run. Jacksonville Jaguars, that's a different football team, and I had predicted this coming into the season that team was going to be a lot better than people thought. I think they were going to win that division. I still think they're going to win that division. They're a much better football team than people gave them credit for, but I tell you what, you know, Robert Saleh, and I wish they would have thrown down. That would have been awesome if they'd have just, like, I know you're not supposed to, and I know, you know, you can't preach violence, but a little violence would have been awesome. If they actually traded blows, that would have been great.
Liam Cohen, Robert Saleh, 10 round with 8-ounce gloves. How do you handicap it, Stink?
Oh, like I said, Xerxes, the Persian god, would have just absolutely obliterated Cohen, I think. Although Cohen did, you know, and Cohen, you know, he's one of those, he's got a dad bod, but I think he's a little tougher than probably he would get credit for. But I think Robert Saleh would open a can of whoop ass personally.
No, I love that. And I kind of wish that the defensive line without Bosa could bring that sort of can of whoop ass energy. And when you look at the game outside of the ETN big run, How was the Niners defense unable to really slow down ETN in that run game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a $64,000 question, and you know, I haven't gone through the coaches tape on that game. I haven't really looked at the coaches tape yet. I just watched the replay, you know, the 30-minute cut up replay. So, you know, ultimately it comes down to being able to have gap sound assignment, and you just can't let it happen to you. Now, I will say this, Jacksonville offensive line wise, and I did the first game of the season for them, they are a physical group. I think Ezra Cleveland's playing as good as he's played, maybe the best football he's played. I love their left tackle, even though, you know, he's probably not the most gifted of athletes, but he's a big, firm guy. I mean, they'll lean on you. And that's one of those things. I almost look at them kind of like I look at the Rams or the 49ers. I talked about this on the podcast today, as a matter of fact. When I played, we used to always sit around and our coaches would say, the 49ers, this is the late 80s, early 90s, would say, oh, the 49ers, they don't practice in pads. They're soft, you know, they're soft. And then you'd go out to Candlestick and they would just whip your ass. And you'd be sitting on the bus licking your wounds and you'd be whispering to each other as players because you didn't want, you know, the coaches are sitting up front and you didn't want one of the coaches over here. And you're like, you know, whispering like, lie to us, man. Those guys aren't soft. Those guys are a bunch of badasses. And, you know, and I think that's kind of the style with which Cohen wants his guys to play. I think that's kind of what the way the Rams are built right now. So, and unfortunately, with the injuries and everything else, the Niners are not quite there yet.
Mark Schlereth is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. It's a perfect question for you, a former offensive lineman in a Shanahan system. Mark, why are the Niners not running the ball well?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is they're getting so much from a defensive standpoint. I don't think defenses feel completely threatened by their passing game right now, especially switching quarterbacks and, you know, playing Mac Jones and now going back to Brock Purdy and the guys you have outside. And I'll equate this to kind of how I always felt about teams that didn't have a war daddy as a pass rusher. You know, when you don't have one dude or two dudes that can flat rush the passer, then you're like, hey, man, we can get five guys out of the pattern at all times because we can go five one-on-ones. We can go 5-0 protection. We're not afraid to do that. And ultimately, we'll win. And I think when teams look at you and say, hey, man, there's nobody that truly threatens us outside the numbers. There's nobody out there that we're scared to death of. So if we sit there and say, man, we're going to load this box and we're going to live with the consequences and you can't beat them consistently. I mean, come on, McCaffrey had what, 11 targets? Like he led the team with targets. I think he had 5 or 6 receptions. Like your running back, and I get that he's great and I get that you can split him out and do a lot of things, but your running back can't be your number one target guy. It just can't. And so I think some of it is, hey, man, we are not going to allow you to run the football. We're just not going to allow you. And at this particular point in time, I don't think they're good enough to overcome that, and especially not in the passing game. You have got to be so good and efficient throwing the football that teams are so scared to bring that eighth guy up in the box that's when you get those big runs. That's when you get that wide open space. It's all a numbers game, and right now they can't win the numbers game.
Not only that, Stink, but it doesn't seem like they can really pass protect that well. Hines Allen had his way with Trent Williams, and if you can't run it and you can't protect, how do you go about finding that vertical passing game?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's really hard. I don't think there's not a team in the league that can drop back 40-whatever times and have success. You just can't. It's just impossible. The athletes on the other side are much better. And, you know, you speak of war daddy pass rushers. Man, they got two with Hines Allen and the other cat they've got, who's a damn good player as well. I can't remember his name right off the bat. I did do their game week one, but I, you know what, I've taken a lot of shots to the head, so whatever. But they've got two guys that can really rush. Is it Walker on the other side? I don't know. But they've got two guys that can flat-out rush the passer. So they're a really good defensive front. And you've got to be able to take pressure off of those guys by having some success. And if you got to sit back and, you know, and ask your quarterback to do it, it's just a bad recipe. You know, they got to get Ayuk's got to come back eventually. You got to get George Kittle back in the fold. You know, you've got to have some other guys that threaten a defense that, you know, you just can't pin your ears back and go, we're not scared of you guys right now, so we're just going to go ahead and we're going to dictate to you, as opposed to the opposite being true.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. We're talking with Mark Schlereth, Stink, right here on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of having a great pass rusher, yeah, Nick Bosa's not coming back. And based on what I saw against Jacksonville, Stink, I think the Niners need to make a move as soon as the league will sort of start taking trade calls. What are your thoughts on that? Is Trey Hendrickson from Cincinnati a match?
Trey Hendrickson's a great player. Yeah, so if you could go out and get a Trey Hendrickson, absolutely. You know, he's in his 30s, but that guy can still rush the passer. So that would be great. Cincinnati ain't going anywhere, and they don't like paying guys anyhow, right? I mean, they're a garbage organization. So that would be one that I would reach out and ask if they – did I say that? Garbage? Don't tell anybody in Cincinnati.
No, this is just between us right now, Stink. Just between the three of us,
Keep that on the down low between us guys. Trust tree – dude talk here, right?
Perfect.
One dude to another dude.
That's right.
So yeah, they're garbage. So yeah, that would be a guy I would reach out to and see if see if they want to unload him, because you know they don't want to pay him.
That's a fact. And after last night, I think that most of America would agree that they are trash based on what they put out there. And they had their own wide receiver talking about how it didn't seem like they tried. But short of that addition, what can Robert Saleh do? Not a defense and a coordinator that loves to blitz a lot and looked like they played a lot of bend but don't break. How might that work against Matt Stafford and a guy with an offense that can kind of carve you up?
Yeah, it's not a good recipe. I think the other thing that, you know, that the Rams have done here in recent years, there was a time where you guys just absolutely took the Rams and just took them behind the woodshed. You know, my dad used to say that to me all the time when I was, you know, young, when I was a youngster and I started feeling a little salty. He'd be like, hey, you want to go behind the barn? Like, you want to go behind the barn? And let me just tell you, my dad, poolside, my college buddies called him, my dad would whoop your ass. You know, he was that, like, let's go. If you want to go by, and of course I never challenged him because until I got a bit older, right? But right up until, even when I was in high school, I mean, that guy was frightening. And so anyhow, like, you know, I mean, it's one of those situations where, that's who the Rams have become. There was a time when the 49ers would just line up against the Rams and absolutely thunder punch them on top of the head, and they'd walk away, you know, just bludgeoning the Rams. Well, guess what? The Rams adjusted. The Rams looked at that and said, hey man, if we're ever going to be able to compete with the Niners, we've got to flip the script and we've got to become the bully. And they've done that in the last couple of years, man. Their offensive line, they've addressed that. They're good up front. And I always say this about them, you know, Sean McVay always talks about illusion of complexity and, hey, how we are designed or disguised as a spread team, but we really run the ball and we're good at that. And then defensively, you know, they've addressed their defensive line and their defensive front seven. And I'm telling you what, they're a really damn physical team, which they don't get credit for because, you know, Matthew Stafford throws it around. They got a bunch of good receivers and all that kind of stuff, but they're really based on, and Sean will tell you this, we're based on physically just bludgeoning you and then opening up our passing game off that.
Hey, Stink, what's your perspective inside of a locker room and how, and I know contracts weren't like this when you were playing, but these quarterbacks now that are going north of $50 million, we've been kind of sparring with a lot of our listeners today because once you sign that deal, people want the quarterback to have a cape on, be Superman, and go do a bunch of stuff by himself, even when things aren't perfect around him. Is that fair? Like, what's your perspective on how the dynamic changes when somebody signs the big deal?
Yeah, well, when you sign the big deal, you sign it for what you've done already, and then, you know, they expect you to play really good. But the bottom line is how many quarterbacks can wear the cape, right? I mean, Josh Allen, Mahomes, you know, beyond that, there's not a whole lot. And, you know, Lamar, but let's face it, every time they get into a game against Kansas City, Lamar, you know, I mean, they have a formula to beat Lamar, and so, you know, they fall apart. But I understand the expectations. I understand you like, oh, $50 million. The $50 million or whatever doesn't make him all of a sudden 6'5" and, you know, 245 pounds and can run. He's still the guy he is. So he's asked to operate within a system. He's asked to operate that way. And, you know, ultimately you've lost players. You guys have not been healthy. You don't have a receiving core right now is currently constructed that is frightening. I think they're good. I think Ricky Pearsall is going to be a really good player. You know my affinity for Juwan Jennings. I think he's a really good player. But is he one of those guys that people absolutely fear? Do you get into a situation on third down and say, hey, man, there is no way we can leave this guy one-on-one? And I would tell you, nobody thinks that way. And so, you know, I mean, for Brock Purdy, I get it. You know, you guys see a bunch of money. I think one of the things you have to understand, the way the salary cap is structured, we like to point the finger at players. You know, it's easier to do that than it is the organization or whatever. But I think Brock Purdy's a really damn good player. And then ultimately, I think that, you know, you've got to be able to kind of support that guy, because he's not, you know, Josh Allen. And that's okay. You can still win. And he's gone to Super Bowl and went to a Super Bowl and went to an NFC Championship game where he got hurt. He's been really, really good for you guys. So I just, like, it's not Brock Purdy's responsibility to manage your cap, and it's not anybody else's responsibility to manage your cap. That's your job as an organization. It's your job to develop players. And, it, you know, ultimately you got to try to find out why your guys are always hurt. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I really don't. But they seem to be one of the most snake-bit organizations in football.
You mentioned that Brock's not a wear-the-cape guy. Is that kind of befitting the Shanahan system? Does he create a system not needing or even wanting a guy to wear the cape?
Yeah, I think he's relying on, you know, their system, their ability to run the ball, their ability to be a great play calling, their ability to set up your play action, create wide-open opportunities for players. You know, and that's great. And coaching is awesome. Coaching is awesome. And I think Kyle Shanahan's one of the best coaches in the National Football League, bar none. And you talk to anybody who does what I do for a living, and they'll tell you the same thing. But the bottom line is this. Coaches are great, but players are better. You got to have players. And, you know, how good has Bill Belichick been minus Tom Brady? And the answer is he hasn't. He's been awful. And, you know, and ultimately this stint in North Carolina, he'll probably never coach in the National Football League again. And kind of sad, but it is the reality of how it works. You got to have great players, and those players got to stay healthy if you're going to be able to be good.
Stink, you were good. That was awesome. Yeah, fantastic, man. We always appreciate your time, and we look forward to talking to you again in a couple of weeks.
My pleasure, guys. Be well, man. Take care.
You too. There he goes. That's Stink, everybody. That's Mark Schlereth and Odyssey NFL Insider, Mark Schlereth, who is the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark is the host of the Odyssey original, the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcast.
Yeah, the Shanahan system, you got to be able to run the ball. And you look at them per carry, they are tied for 30th with Pittsburgh and just ahead of the aforementioned garbage franchise, Cincinnati.
I would like you to stop making excuses for Brock Purdy, Dibs.
I'm not the one making excuses. Those are the words from Mark Schlereth, the guy who played about 230 more games than I did in the league.
You're giving a caveat. Why won't you hold him accountable?
Oh, I do, and I have, and I did. It is you who is the president of Brockistan.
Well, I love when people do that, because that is a label that I proudly wear on my forehead. I have no problem with that.
And that's where, and he talked about, like, he's not a guy who you want to wear the cape. And he named two people who wear the cake? He mentioned Josh, a grand total of two.
Yeah, Josh and...
And Lamar.
Right, which is the timing of this one is super funny.
Right.
Because Lamar's not wearing the cape.
He is, but...
They're 1-3 and he's hurt.
Well, it's because he plays alongside Kryptonite, which is their defense.
Thank you, but why is... Wait a minute, you're making an excuse for him, Dibs.
I'm not.
Hold him accountable.
What I'm doing, Mark, is...
He's been paid. He's supposed to win the game by himself.
I'm reinforcing the idea of complimentary football, and Stink just said it about the Niners, and that's why I asked him about the cape, and he said, well, with Kyle, you've got to be able to run the ball, and they're averaging 3.3 a carry, tied with Pittsburgh, ahead of Cincinnati, who the Bengals are averaging 2.6 a carry. My God.
They're literally, I don't know, I actually do know. I was going to say, I don't know why we don't talk about this more. I know why we don't talk about this more, because it's not sexy.
It's Cincinnati.
Yeah, no, not the Cincinnati part. The fact that somebody who has Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Shanahan are one of the worst rushing teams in the entire league. Let that sink in.
Right.
But I know why we don't talk about it. Like, that's the other part of our conversation that we're having here. I know why a lot of you want to point to Purdy. Because that's just a more fun thing to talk about. It's sexier. It's easier. It gets people going.
Right.
We can have a debate.
It's headline.
It works on Twitter. It doesn't work if you're like, well... Boy, average yards per carry, it just doesn't, but that's what's going on.
They're seventh in yards per attempt passing. They're 30th in yards per rush running. So you tell me which part of the offense is more problematic right now.
I already know which. I mean,
I'm just saying,
hello.
And numbers are numbers, right. And all the rest of now, it, but.
And those are complimentary also, by the way. Like, Stink's answer to this is true. And in a way, Brock is at least a part of the reason why, because they're going to key on the run because they're not scared of their pass game. And you can say that's partly on Brock for sure. It's also, I guess, partly on the fact that Brock hasn't played two games. So it's on the fact that he either doesn't scare you or he's not even out there. And it has to do with the fact that the receiving core is so completely hampered. And it has to do with the fact that your future Hall of Fame tight end isn't in there. These are all true facts, but they don't work. They don't work on social media. They don't necessarily work very well on sports radio. And so here we are, hold Brock accountable. Okay. Like, I would love, if you want to make that all Brock's fault, make it all Brock's fault. Nobody told you it was Josh Allen. Nobody told you he played last week. He was off last week.
Yeah.
Played a bad game. Who's saying otherwise? I'm very comfortable with the idea that even at $53 or more million dollars per year, you're going to need other things on your team to go well for you to succeed. It is actually even true for Lamar. Evidence. This year.
Look at every other team, almost every other team. Look at Dak, who's 4-7-1 since he got the bag. He's got one receiver, a good tight end, no running game, and a terrible defense. They don't win. Jordan Love has been pretty good.
Pretty good.
They've got a number of good weapons. They've got a great running back,
although they're winless over the last 2 weeks,
right,
in the NFL.
But 11-7-1 since he got the bag, and we can go all the way through it. And the majority of these guys, they need what Brock needs. Good players around him.
Right. They need a team that's functioning at a high level. All right. There are some of you want to weigh in on this. We're going to take that. But I also would love to throw out something new for everybody to weigh in on. And I think that this is we should get to the bottom of this. Giants fans, listen up. Listen up. Because Buster Posey and Zach Manassian are going to speak at a press conference tomorrow at Oracle Park.
Mm.
And I think the Giants should hear this before they have their press conference. And what they should hear is your reaction to a very simple yes or no question. You want me back?
Hey, Mark. It's Boach.
Boach. Yes or no? The right move for the Giants or the wrong move? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls on that right now. Boach, yes or no? We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water, and it's Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I love this show, man. You know, 95.7, man. You know, I'm a gamer.
On 95.7, The Game.
I love this show, too. Though I am contractually obligated to do so.
Yeah. Well, so. You aren't really. You're just contractually obligated to show up and be here until 5:57.
Yeah,
you don't have to love it. You don't even have to yike it.
I know, but I don't live my life that way.
I know.
I'm going to do something I don't want to do every
unless
day.
Unless your contract is different than mine, there's no clause in mine that says, oh, no, you're going to like it.
No, that's
and you're going to love it.
That's like a it's a clause that I put in there.
Gotcha.
It's imaginary. It's an imagination sensation.
So if I get you in a certain mood, then you will be in breach of contract.
Well,
I've been able to get there a couple times.
Yeah. Bad mood doesn't mean I don't like the show.
That fair, might just fair.
Be, I'm just in a bad mood.
Yeah, that's fair. And yeah. That's almost never. You have a very, you're like Steph Curry at the foul line in terms of mood. Like, you get to the foul line that's and funny. It's going to be your mood at the that's line.
Funny. Yeah.
I'm not even going to look. I mean, those are, you're going to make them both now.
Yeah, that's 2 points.
Yeah.
I'm not chewing on anything, though, all day long
no,
like that.
No,
that's
no, no.
It's a little unsanitary.
I'm a little bit more like Draymond at the foul line. I might make them both and punch somebody.
Squat.
You just never know.
Yeah. All right, 888-957-9570. Our boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line was sure definitive on the Bochy thing. Let's see, 650, Bochy? Hell yeah. 650, yes, 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 yes. That's four yeses. Let's see.
Which was unnecessary.
How about 650, Bochy? Yes, yes, yes. Just three yeses this time.
Well, that's
time.
Homage to Hunter Pence.
Yeah, exactly.
National TV personality.
650, Bochy should never have left in the first place. It was the idea of bringing in Farhan that erased everything we had built up years prior. Bochy is, let's see, he's got some other thoughts on Bochy and what kind of led to that. But let's see. I think we got breaking news.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Jonathan Kuminga agreed to a contract.
What? With who?
Jonathan Kuminga. And the Golden State Warriors are in agreement on a contract. Kuminga agrees to a 2-year, $48.5 million deal to return to the Golden State Warriors. The deal has a team option in year two. So of all of the options that were on the table, obviously Jonathan could take the qualifying offer. Jonathan had a 3-year fully guaranteed deal at $54 million. Jonathan had a 2-year, a 1+1 with a team option for $48 million. That's what he took. He also had a 3-year deal at $75 million, which was a 2-year plus a team option. He selects the 1+1, which maximizes his first year money. So he gets the guaranteed money, which I think is up to about $23 million for year one. It's a team option in the following year, which means this can work as a tradable 2-year deal. It can also work as an expiring contract. My very, very quick analysis on this is that Jonathan Kuminga has decided to A, maximize his money in year one, but B, also maximize the likelihood of getting himself out of Golden State as soon as possible in the way of the Warriors being able to move him. This is a very, very tradable contract.
Right, and the Warriors ultimately put their offer up. This is from Shams saying they ultimately increased its offer by $8 million in the two-year framework to guarantee him approximately $15 more than his qualifying offer would have for this season. So this year it's basically $23 million, and then for the next year it's $25.5 million with a team option on that. And ultimately, if you're a team that might want to acquire Jonathan Kuminga and you like him, then you trade for him before February, and then you exercise that option for $25.5 million, and you hope he likes you to the point where you can then extend him and keep him. So the Warriors gave up nothing in terms of control. They gave up a little bit more money, and they sweetened the pot for Kuminga progressively, and ultimately you got to the point where tomorrow was the deadline, so he's down to 32 and a half hours to where they had to make a decision, and he took the money and not run. He took the money and he stayed.
Yeah, no.
Knowing full well that the bigger the number in year one, the likelier it is that the Warriors will trade him, either aggregate him and trade him or just trade him straight up. So smart move, and you know, tip of the cap to his agent, Aaron Turner, because they pushed this all the way, and whatever ill will you developed with the organization, that might go a long way toward actually getting you out of here even sooner.
Yeah, although I would actually say, I mean, this is essentially kind of the deal that's been on the table for a little while.
I thought that one was 45, 2 years and 45 was, I thought that's what where that number was when Aaron Turner came on with Steiny and Goo about 10 days ago.
I mean, maybe. You know, what we're talking about a couple million bucks for the first year. I do think that the number 23, from what I understand, is a very significant one, because if you go over that, if they went over the number 23 in year one, that would zap that last roster spot that they're hoping to use on Steph's brother. I think that this allows them to now, so that's my hope, is that sometime before we go to bed tonight, you'll see the rest of the contracts all become finalized. Al Horford, D'Anthony Melton, and maybe Seth Curry gets that last guaranteed roster spot for the Warriors, but we'll see. That's a question for a different day. But the bottom line here is that I'm really also happy the Warriors did not blink on this idea of a player option. I think a lot of fans, I've heard from a lot of fans who really thought, what's the difference? Team option, player option, whatever. And to me, it's a big, big deal. And I'm really glad the Warriors did not blink on that part. If it's a couple more million dollars for year one, great. Do that. Who cares?
Right.
But do not turn the team option into a player option. That significantly lowers the value of the contract in a potential trade. Instead, what you now have, as you just pointed out, an acquiring team, let's say they do this in February, an acquiring team gets a half year to look at Jonathan Kuminga, and then they get to the end of that year. If they love him, they get him for another year at a pretty good price, $25 million. If they don't, they can opt out, and then that gets him to free agency very quickly. And even if he plays the life of the deal, this gets him to unrestricted free agency in 2 years, less than 2 years, actually, at the end of two seasons from now. Yep. And Jonathan will still be, 24? So it gets him to free agency at a very young rate. This makes sense, but I'm glad that cool heads prevailed. I never bought that he was going to take the qualifying offer. That would have been a disaster. That never made sense. And I'm also glad that the Warriors did not blank and turn this in to a player option. So this is probably as good of a resolution, at least on a temporary front, that we were going to get based on where we arrived. I still think there are some emotions to navigate. We'll see how that plays out. It's going to be hard for him to do. He's done it before.
This is what I actually thought was going to happen.
This is the best case scenario.
You and I talked a couple of weeks ago about what would you do if you were Kuminga, and this is what I thought that they would do and should do, because it gives them that flexibility where even if the Warriors don't trade him, it's 2 years and you get $45 million. Turns out the offer went up to $48.5 million. So the Warriors threw in a little bit of a sweetener, a year two sweetener, like you're saying, because you can't get over 23 because that would hard cap you and blah, 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 all the rest of the rules. But there was a certain number that they couldn't meet in year one, but they got to a point where, all right, we're going to sweeten you up in year two, but it's a team option. So if we do trade you, that team that acquires you is going to have to carry with you that $25.5 million in year two. So that becomes something that if you're Kuminga, you realize the reality of it, which is, all right, now it's up to Kuminga to go out and play well and play hard and do all the things that you're supposed to do and get to a point where, all right, maybe you're helping the Warriors be good again, so you stay, or you're playing as well as you can and you're doing great, and then the Warriors decide that they find somebody else they want more, and then they trade you, but the acquiring team is looking at it going, man, Kuminga came out and he's averaging 15.5, and he's doing all the things that, you know, his agent said that he would do if he played 30 minutes, and darn it, now he's doing it, so now we want Kuminga. So for me, this is a win-win because the Warriors maintain control in year two, and Kuminga now has a real incentive. He's paid, and he has an incentive to go out there and play great.
Absolutely. Like, I will add that Shams also kind of added to this, the deal with that team option is designed for the contract to be ripped up and renegotiated next summer. Now, that's kind of, I think, in the eyes of Aaron Turner, who's probably the one who's breaking this to Shams. But, you know, obviously the team can also opt out. He may not even be on the Warriors by then. But to your point, if he plays great, if he goes out and he plays great, then yes, you can sort of rip up the deal and renegotiate. Now, I don't know if there's some sort of a wink, wink, nod, nod, like we're going to rip this up and renegotiate it next summer, because if he plays great, why wouldn't the Warriors just be like, no, we're going to pick up the team option, you know?
Yeah.
But then maybe there'd be an extension that would be involved in it. I don't know. There's a lot of ways this can go. I still think option A is most likely that the Warriors will try to trade him come January, February, but we'll see. Now you get to go into, let's gather the data, because here's the other thing. I don't think he's going to get DNPs. I really don't.
No.
He's going to play. They're going to have to try to figure it out. If he gets DNPs, it's because they try to play him and it ends up not working. But those DNPs came in the highest of leverage moments going into and then into the playoffs, where the Warriors felt like there were no minutes to kind of mess around and test things and whatnot. And Jimmy Butler's here and Jonathan's coming back from injury and all of that stuff. That won't be the case at the start of the year. So is he going to get 30 minutes a night? I doubt it, but he's not going to get DNPs. Jonathan is back, and now it is his job to get the head totally screwed on straight, and then go play good basketball and go play it the way I would argue the Warriors would like him to play it.
And I think he will get 30 minutes a night some nights, and it depends on which games and which situations, and you've got an older team and you've got back-to-backs, and if you're going to add Al Horford in the mix, then your team got even a little bit older than what you thought your old team was before, and GP2 is a guy in his 30s who's had a little bit of an injury history, not a terrible one, but a guy who's going to miss some games, so there are minutes for Kuminga between now and, you know, January, February, and the Warriors do have an ability to trade him before the deadline, long before the deadline,
sure,
if they see fit and they find something that is going to work for them. But this, for me, is a win-win. It's the kind of contract that I thought would have been the ultimate way to resolve it, because the team does not give up control, and it's a little bit of a Jordan Poole deal where, yeah, you know, the number next year is the number next year. We may never even see that. What the Warriors got is a tradable player with a tradable salary that can now be used in January or February to bring in a player that they like more than Jonathan Kuminga.
I will agree with you that it's a win-win based on where we arrived and what was currently available. I do think that there were better ways for this summer to go for the Golden State Warriors and for Jonathan, for that matter. This was one hell of a ride, and believe you me, not everybody in the organization, and probably Jonathan too and his agent, were not thrilled about this experience. And Draymond Green has talked a lot about this. These things are hard. These players are hardwired to also get over it, and so Jonathan's going to have to do that. But one more tweet from Shams that I would like to now pass along to everybody. And by the way, with this breaking news that obviously we've all been waiting for months and months, it's here and we're here. Therefore, we're here for you. 888-957-9570 is the number. We will take your calls right now and throughout the afternoon on your reaction to what the final answer is on this Golden State Warriors Jonathan Kuminga puzzle. Once again, what has happened is Kuminga has agreed to a two-year, $48.5 million contract. Year one is the only guaranteed year, $23 million. Year two is a team, a Warriors option on year two. That, in theory, gets Jonathan to free agency a little bit quicker, but also add this in. Shams just tweeted it a minute ago. Kuminga chose this two-year deal over the three-year deal so he can maintain a higher level of control over his immediate future. The Warriors never wavered on team option frameworks. Now, both sides understand the likelihood of exploring trades when Kuminga is eligible in January. So I also want to add in, this is not kumbaya. It's not. This was never a perfect situation. It obviously has been dragged on and on to the level of high frustration on both sides. And this agreement does not mean, in my estimation, that everybody is like, sweet, gather around the campfire, let's make s'mores, we ride together. This is still very much a temporary relationship in the eyes of both sides, at least in all likelihood. That's my guess. And this is as tradable of a contract as he could have signed. And so there's a lot of games to happen and there's a lot of things to unfold. So this could go a lot of directions, but I would still think that right now it's likely that Kuminga's time in Golden State has 6 months left.
Perhaps, yeah, and actually less than that, less, if yeah. you want to talk about him being eligible to be dealt in January. It might be three, might be October, November, December, and then he could be on the move in January ahead of the February deadline. But it's interesting about a couple things. One, if you look around the league, the association, and you look at players who make about $23 million, there are some veterans, there are some expirings, there are some pieces that might fit better than Kuminga. And the other part of it is, and I've always taken Steve Kerr at his word about Kuminga, Jimmy Butler, and the DNPs, they really didn't have a chance to practice it, work it out, figure out what might work. Now, you've got a game on Sunday, a preseason game. I don't know if he'll be ready to go against the Lakers. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, who cares?
You've got about 3 weeks of run-up until the start of the regular year. You've got some time to figure out how this might actually be better than what it was in March and April, because when he came back and Jimmy was here, they didn't have the practice time to really figure out how it might work. Now, you can call that a cop-out, whatever you want to call it. I take them at their word. And also now, Kuminga's a Warrior. He's a Warrior until he's not a Warrior. And while he's a Warrior, he needs to play because he's a good player and he's young. And as his agent said, he's a guy who can eat minutes, and you're going to need people to play minutes on an older team.
Yeah, I would suggest, and I know that Aaron Turner would walk this back if he could. I would like go rebound no matter how many minutes you get. I wouldn't wait for 28th minute to be like, nah, I'm on a re-, you know what I mean? Like, that was a bad statement.
He stated it the wrong way.
Completely.
Yes.
I don't know if he fully meant it that way, but that's how it absolutely was said. And so, to me, yes, Jonathan is going to play. Here's kind of what I'm happy about in this moment. I still have questions that need to be answered, and they will when the season starts. There's two things I want to point out that I'm happy about today. One on each side. I've already sort of stated the Warrior one. The Warriors unequivocally, absolutely should not blink on the team option framework, and they didn't. So for me, good job, Warriors, there. Again, this was not a perfect situation. There wasn't a perfect answer, but this is about as good as what they could have gotten to. And as for Jonathan, I think that Jonathan, I don't think his agent was great, but Jonathan, in the end, took a deal the day before we got to the deadline and all of the, he did not take the qualifying offer. He, in theory, I think left room for Seth Curry to join the team. And now he will be here for the start of training camp. This is yet another brick on the wall. And it's a good one, by the way. This is a brick on the wall of, no matter how frustrating and annoying all of this has been between Kuminga and the Warriors, Jonathan has never publicly caused a huge fuss.
That's right.
And he deserves a lot of credit for that. And he just did it again. Because honestly, I know there was a couple million sweetener in there, but Jonathan did not get what he wanted. He did not. They threatened the qualifying offer. The bluff got called, and it was right to call the bluff. They were not going to take the QO. They demanded a player option. They didn't get it. Sometimes you don't get what you want in a contract.
Yeah.
He took it. He took it on time. He made room for teammates. He's going to show up. The next question is, are you now focused and you're able to compartmentalize and play good basketball?
That's a question. I would guess he would be.
I would guess so, too.
And the conversation is now ramped up because the news is breaking. Kuminga signs for 2 years and $48.5 million, $23 million year one guaranteed, $25.5 million the second year on a team option. Obviously not guaranteed because the team can give him a Ariana Grande and say, thank you, next. And so he gets $23 million this year instead of $7.9 million. And if the Warriors don't want him around, he gets his freedom after a year. And if they do want him around, well, now it becomes a two-year, $48.5 million deal. Yep. Or the Warriors can trade him in January. So I kind of think that Kuminga, he didn't get what he wanted, because what he wanted was what Jalen Green got, which is 3 years and 105, and that wasn't happening. So this is better than what he was going to settle for, and the threat of the qualifying offer was just that, you're right, a threat. So instead of 7.9 and everyone's miserable, now he gets $23
million, yeah,
and everyone's not miserable. It might be a little bit awkward, and the awkward thing will be, as Guru likes to say, the rat on the table, which is they're going to be trying to trade him, and he's okay with it.
Yeah,
that's going to be the rat on the table. Well, so brought to you by Atco.
I look at it as kind of a staircase of not getting what he wanted. Like you bring up, he wanted what Jalen Green got. Okay, that's step one. All right, if you can't have that, what do you want next? Well, I want to be a son or a king. All right,
you don't get that either.
Okay, what's next? Well, then I want a player option.
Right.
Nah, I'm sorry, not getting that either.
Nope.
Okay. Well, then you got this, and again,
this is not the bottom of the staircase.
No.
It certainly isn't the top, though. I'll give you that.
But I'm trying to give him credit here because he did not get what he wanted. He did not. Like, I mean, Aaron Turner sat here on these airwaves and they were like, we're not doing team option. And here we are a day before the deadline. And yes, you are. Yes, you are. But I want Jonathan to get credit for that, because my concern all along was, at what point are we now, the interests are so competing that you are using this situation to basically get in the way of Warrior basketball? And he didn't do that. There's one more round to hit, which is now you got to go play well, stay
right,
focused, don't get into sideline spats with...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Or whatever, but like, don't let it get in the way of the season. And he didn't. And he took a deal that he's probably not thrilled with. He gets 23 million ways to get over it, but he's probably not thrilled with it. But he's now a highly paid man, and there is some sort of get out of town card that's tucked in there, seemingly sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
so that's good.
I don't think that he's necessarily that disappointed, because
it's not what they said they wanted.
Of course, but you always can say what you want and they can say what you're going to get. And if, you know, the truth, like you say, in negotiations, a good negotiation always lands in the middle, and that's where this is. And if you're Kuminga, Worst case, you play for 23, you don't get traded, and they turn down your option, and now you're a free agent. Best case, you play for 23, you get dealt somewhere where you can cook, they pick up your option, now you get 48 and a half, and you get to play somewhere where you actually get to cook and do what you want.
888-957-9570, Kuminga and the Warriors have a deal. It's a 1+1 2-year deal, team option on year 2, $48.5 million deal. The Warriors and Kuminga experience at long last, at least this version of it, is over. We'll take your calls right now. 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good, Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.